And we're holding the last words of page Tzadik Ches in Brachas, middle of Ois Kuf Lamed Beis. We're in the middle of talking about that the Gemara mentioned, so the Mishnah had said that a person has to love Hashem, the Pasuk says a person has to love Hashem b'chol levavecha, b'chol levavcha. The Mishnah had said it means b'shnei yitzarecha. And that led us into a discussion of the Pasuk by Yitzer Hashem Elokim, that we said there's one meaning is that a person has a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. Another point is also that it means that Hashem created Adam and Chava as two people back to back, like Siamese twins joined together. And the Gemara has been discussing that and a different versus a different opinion that says that Chava was created originally as a zonov, which we talked about on Thursday. It doesn't necessarily mean a tail. It means an extra part of the body that afterwards was separated out from Adam and built up into Chava. When I mentioned a vort from the Maharal about that on Thursday, I got it a little bit wrong. I looked it up again. What he says is the two opinions, whether Chava was created as a paratzuf or as a zonov, the question is, we know that people are greater than malachim because we have the opportunity to do Torah and mitzvahs and malachim don't. They're omnim, we're mahalchim. The question is that the two opinions over here are, is a woman on that same level higher than the malachim, or is she on a level only equal to the malachim? That came up, for example, by Kriyas Yamsuf. We know that Hashem didn't want to allow the malachim to sing until Bnei Yisrael sing Oz Yashir. And then the question became, what about the women? Do the malachim get to sing at least at the same time as the women, or do they have to wait for the women to finish their song also? There's even a verb that says, that's why the pasuk says, Vatan lahem Miriam, why in Lashon Zachar, Vatan lahem means she said to them, to the malachim, fine, I'll give you permission, you can go ahead first. But so now the two opinions are Pautzuf or Zonov. No, just Mitzad that she was willing to, fine, you've been waiting all this time for our husbands. While they said Shira, fine, she says, I'll give you a break and let you go before us. Anyway, the point is, the Maharal says, if you say that Chava was created as a Pautzuf, then it means that like Adam, that men and women are both higher than the Malachim. If you say that the woman was created originally as a Zonov, and then it means the male is higher than Malachim. The woman is on an equal level to Malachim, not higher than them, like man is. She has mitzvahs, but not as many as men. So therefore, that would be a reason.
More than Malachim.
More than Malachim, but still not as many. So that might be a reason to say that they're not on as high a level. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Last words of page Tzadik Ches and Brachos. B'shleim l'manda om ha'parzuf. I understand according to the opinion that Chava was created as a separate human figure, Heinrichte Vayitzer b'shnei yudin. Well, then that explains the word Vayitzer with the double yud that we said before. It can represent that point, du partzuf. El lamanda om zonov. But if you say that she was created only as an appendage to Adam, my Vayitzer, then what is the word Vayitzer representing? And the answer is Kedir Shimon Pazi. In that case, then it would teach us what we had earlier in the sugya, what Rav Shimon Pazi doushens from that word, Dom Rav Shimon Pazi, Oli mi yotzri, Oli mi yitzri. Woe from my yotzer, from my creator, woe to me from my yetzer. In other words, the word vayitzer, we're doushening vay yetzer. And the word yetzer means the yetzer, as in the one hand, the yetzahara. It also means the yotzer, the creator. Maharsha pointed out before also that you could say Vayitzer actually stands for Vay from the Tzaddik and the Rosha, the Tzaddik meaning Hashem and the Rosha meaning the Yetzirah. So in other words, that a person, like we had earlier, a person is being pulled in both directions. Either way, I'm in trouble. If I follow the Yetzirah, then I'm in trouble with Hashem. And if I follow Hashem, then the Yetzirah is always trying to trip me up. So according to that, Vayitzer represents that, not necessarily that Hashem created two human figures to begin with. There's a vort from Ben Yehoyada. He says that also actually what this Oli mi yotzri, Oli mi yitzri can also mean sometimes sometimes a person is accomplishing some kind of mitzvah or some kind of midah tovah, and then the Yetzirah gets involved and tries to spoil it. And he gives it as an example. You have the scenario, for example, where a person has worked on his midah of anivus, and now his yetzahara starts convincing him, look what a great guy you are, what an honor you are, as we find examples of that. So that's also what we mean, early mi yotzri, early mi yitzri, that even if I finally get something that good puts me in good shape with yotzri, still the yitzri starts trying to interfere. The Gemara continues, b'shleim l'manda om ha'paratzuf. Again, according to the opinion that Chava was created as a separate paratzuf, then it's easy to understand hein b'chdiv zocho n'kev Abraham. The pasuk says that Hashem created them male and female. So, okay, Hashem created two full human figures, one male, one female, and then he split them apart. But if you say that Chava was created only as an extra part of Adam's body, my Zohar in the cave of Bram, so what does that pasuk mean? First Hashem created the man, and only later he created the woman. And the answer is, in that case, Kedirababohu. In that case, that teaches us what Rababohu says. Dorababohu Romi. Rababohu, in fact, pointed out, in these psukim, you have a contradiction. Here you have a pasuk that it says that Hashem created them male and female, implying that Hashem created them both equally with B'Tselem Elokim. Uchtiv ki B'Tselem Elokim also as Adam. But later on, you have a pasuk that says that Hashem created Adam in Tselem Elokim, implying, but not Chava. So what is it? So did Hashem create Chava B'Tselem Elokim or not? Hoketzad. So Rabbi Bohu says, B'Tchila, all of Machshava livres Shnayim. Originally, Hashem planned to create two. Or Ella Echad, in the end, Hashem created as one. So even according to the opinion that she was created originally as Zonav, the intention was all along that it should be Zohar in the cave. Now, what does that mean? Hashem doesn't change his mind. So there's a tshuva where the Rashba explains like this. In general, when we talk about that Hashem, we have, and the Rebbe brings this in many places in Sichos, when we talk about that Hashem thought to do something and in the end did something different, means that Hashem put the potential in the world for that original thing to still come out later on. Now, what it is like this, that Rashba explains. Every other creature were created males and females, but they weren't created. You didn't have any such thing where the male was created and then the female was separated from him. They were created to begin with as separate beings coming out of the ground or coming out of whatever they were created out of. So what's the result of that? Most creatures, they don't mate for life. They have males and females. They get together. They spawn children or whatever. And then they each go their separate ways. They have no particular connection between them. So Hashem's original intention was that people would be like that as well. Then Hashem said, no, I wanted Dav to make it that people should have that deep neshama connection. They should be like two halves of a neshama in separate bodies, where it won't just be that they get together, they have children, and then that's it. Each one goes their own way, but rather that they're going to bond together, begashmius and beruchnius. So that's what it means, that in the end, Hashem created it as one, and then took that one and split it into two, in order that now, every time you have a man and a woman, wherever they are in the world, they are two halves of one neshama, and in a certain sense, two halves of one body, and then they reunite. So that's what it means, Zohar in the cave of Bram. Even if we say that Chava was originally created as a Zonav, the point is that she and Adam were, that the intention was all along that there should be a co-equal Zohar in the cave. Next, the Gemara says, Bishleim lamander om a Pautzuf. I understand according to the opinion that Chava was created as a Pautzuf. That's what it means. The Pasuk says that Hashem closed up flesh instead of her, having taken out the zonav, whether it was a rib, whether it was whatever part of the body. So Hashem had to close it up so that there's no scar over there. That's if there's a Pautzuf, rather. If it was a Pautzuf, then fine. There's a full body attached to Adam's back. So therefore, so when Hashem separates it, then he has to put Basar Tachten. El Amanda Amazona, but if it was only an appendage of his body, Mai Vayisko Basar Tachtena. So what does that mean? In other words, fine, so there'll be a scar, big deal. Why is it important for the Pasuk to mention the point that Hashem closed up the flesh? And the answer is Amr Abyumi, Vitamir of Zvid, Vitamir of Nachum Yitzchak. As a matter of fact, yeah, Lenitzruchai Lomakim Chasach. Yes, exactly. That is what it means. There could have been a scar left there, and it could be. You could have, for example, but it would have been only on Adam and Hashem. You could have had that every man from then on has a scar in the same place. Instead, Hashem closed it up so that there was no scar left over there. One point is, we're not just talking about a gashmiistic, a scar also. We're talking about an emotional one also. Like you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin where a min or the emperor, I forget who it was, anyway, says to the Gamliel, Hashem was a thief. He put on him to sleep and stole a piece from him to make chava. And you have the whole discussion over there where his daughter gets involved and then gives a marshal over there. Anyway, the upshot is that Hashem wants to forestall any such thing. Like this, Adam could, when he wakes up, he could complain. Look at this. I used to have something good. I used to have an extra part of me, and now that's missing. You're going to tell him, yeah, but you have, as the Gemara says over there, Shiftel Hashem. So still, you know, people can always look for arguments to complain. So like this, the Eibush to close it up so that he doesn't even feel there's anything missing over there. Next, the Gemara said, that too, every time he sees the scar to remind him, yeah, you have in that Gemara. Also, the mushal that the queso's daughter gives of taking a raw piece of meat and grilling it, where you realize how bloody and disgusting it was before. Yeah, all of that is included. Yeah. So up till now, the questions the Gemara has had have all been that it seems to be more straightforward to understand the Psukim if you understand that Chava was created as a Pautzuf rather than as a Zonav. And we have to find for each one an answer. Now we have the other way around. The Shleim Lamanda Oma Zonav, according to the opinion that she was created as a Zonav, well, then now we understand. The Pasuk says Hashem built. Literally, Hashem had to build up this one piece that he took out of Adam and build it up into a full human being. But if you say that it means a Pautzuf, she already had a fully delineated body and she was just attached to Adam back to back, then what's the Vayiven? What had to be built up? And the answer is Miboyle L'chidur of Shimon ben Manasseh. In that case, then the word Vayivan, according to that opinion, is needed to teach us what Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says, De Omar, or De Dorish, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Mai Dichtiv Vayivan Hashem Alekim HaSatzeva. What does this pasuk mean? According to the opinion that she was created as a Pautzuf and nothing needed to be built up, means Malamach Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. This teaches us that Hashem braided Chava's hair, Ve'havia L'Adam, and brought her to Adam. And where do we see, what does Vayivan have to do with braiding? Shekein b'krakei hayom, we see that in the cities near the sea, b'pashtus, we mean near the sea coast of Eretz Yisrael, but whatever, wherever it was, kodem l'kaliosa b'niyosa. Their word for braiding is b'niyosa. So therefore, now we understand, based on that, the word Vayivan means that Hashem braided her hair. There is, by the way, there's a famous thing the Shalach Kodesh says on such things. We have all over the place where the Gemara and the Midrashim Daushin words in the Torah as coming from foreign languages. We know, for example, Tak Kaspi Shtaim, Paspa Afriki Shtaim. You have places where the Gemara says that a word in Chumash comes from Greek, etc. So the Shalach Kodesh says all of these words originally were in Lashon Kodesh, but some of them stopped being used in Lashon Kodesh and they continued to be used in other languages after the Dirt Flog, after all the languages mixed up. Some of these languages wound up with words that used to be part of Lashon Kodesh, but they are in fact part of Lashon Kodesh, and therefore they're in the Torah. Anyway, the point is that Vayiven, according to that, means that Hashem braided her hair. But Pashtos, yeah. And by the way, that has implications in Halacha, the Gemara discussed in Masechta Shabbos. Now, you're not allowed to braid hair on Shabbos. There's actually an opinion over there, I think Rabbi Eliezer, who says a person would be takabi chayiv chatas for it, according to him. It's a Malacha daraisa of Boinu. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is only the rabbanon, but still, it's also. Why did he braid her hair? The obvious thing would be that push it in order to make her beautiful. You make a kala beautiful for her chasim. There are a couple of interesting explanations. One of them being that a braid is made out of at least three strands. So therefore, it represents the point that like this, you have Adam and Chava, but you need Hashem to come together to be the third member of the braid in order to make it last. You try to braid two strands together, it won't last. You need a third one in order to make it a strong braid, in the same way that Eibishter is actually making it that a human marriage should have a permanence to it. So that's one. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz also says another vote. The word shekila, he says, the word kila, we also find in the Gemara here and there, means hangings, like curtains. So it means that Hashem put curtains for them up, so that when they have the chuppah and afterwards when they first have bia, that they're doing it in privacy. Even though it was before the chaytei tzedas, there's still an inyan that it should be done in privacy. We see Rashi mentions on the pasuk that in fact they didn't. And the snake got jealous, and that's what led to everything. So the Eibishter was trying to forestall that by making, Rabbi Yonasan Eibishter says, by making shekila, Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Chava, that Hashem put up curtains over there so they'd have privacy. Anyway, according to that, according to the opinion that she was created as a tzela, then Vayivan means literally Hashem had to build up that tzela to make it into a woman. According to the opinion that she was created as a pirate sof, then Vayivan means this braiding or this putting up curtains or whatever. Dovaracha, another explanation of Vayivan, Omer of Chista v'amilob masnisatona, and of Chista says, or some say we learn in a blaisa, Melamed sheboro ushebno HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava kibinyan oitzer. It means that Hashem built Chava like the way you build a granary for storing grain. Ma oitzer zeh, now when you're building a granary, you don't want to make that the walls are straight, because what happens is, you think about it, as you pile in the grain, you have more and more pressure is being put on the upper parts of the walls. So therefore, the whole thing is liable to collapse. What you do is therefore you make it wider on the bottom. Ma otzer rochav milamata, the kotzim milamayla. You make it widest on the bottom because there you have the greatest pressure, and narrower on the top. Kedel kabel saperis, so that it will be able to hold the produce and it won't break. Af isha rochav milamata, kotzor milamayla. The same way, a woman's body is built; she's wider below, her hips are wider, kotzor milamayla, and narrowing towards the top. The uterus is wider towards the bottom and narrows towards the top. Kedel kabel savlad, in order to be able to carry a baby. So that's the vayiven that Hashem built, that Hashem built the woman's body with giving extra chokhmah about how she's going to be carrying a baby. The Rif also points out, by the way, you have the Medrash that says Vayiven also has Meloshin Bina, that we know that Bina Yisera Nitna Ba'isha, and we know that women grow up faster and therefore they become Chayiv and Mitzvahs a year earlier than men. We learn that from Vayiven as well, that Hashem gave them an extra degree of Bina.
You can say that the fact that only when she matures, that point, the body takes on that form because that's when she can have children.
Because that's when she can have children, of course, right, yeah. The pasuk continues while we're doubting in this. The Gemara continues. The pasuk says by the pasuk continues by the Eho Ela Adam. Hashem brought Chava to Adam. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar Melamed Shosa Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaAdam Bereshit Shushvinus. This means that Hashem acted towards Adam as a shushvin. Literally, Ma'usha points out a shushvin really means a good friend. But in Gemara terminology, a lot of times a shushvin means an unterfeirer. So it means, and actually, not, well, it can mean an unterfeirer, but more generally, actually, in Gemara terminology, a shushvin in particular means somebody who helps you make a wedding. You have in Baba Basra, you have a whole sugya about the dinim of shushvinus, about you have your friends help in with your wedding expenses, and you invite them, and eventually they make weddings, and you help with their expenses, and then they invite you, etc. So that's a shushvin. So now Hashem did that for Adam Rishon. To make his wedding, to arrange his wedding. Mikan lim the Torah derech eretz. From here, the Torah teaches the proper way of behavior. Sheyachzer gadolim katan b'shushvinus, that a greater person should be willing to go ahead and be a shushvin and be an unterfeirer, or in general, to be working on making the shidduch and making the wedding and all, even for a lesser person. Ba'al aloi, and he shouldn't feel bad. He shouldn't think it's beneath his dignity, because obviously, if the Eibishter could do it for Adam Rishon, then he can do it for a fellow bus of a job. Okay. The Gemara says, fine. So now we've gone through all the various possibilities about all the various psukim and explained them according to both opinions, that Chava was created as a parutzuf and that she was created as a zonah. So now the question is, Lamanda Amar Parutzuf, well, according to the opinion, zonah, there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, when Adam is walking around, he's walking around, and that then and the zonah is just another part of his body. But Lamanda Amar Parutzuf, but according to the opinion that Chava was a full human being attached back to Adam, which one of them would walk first? So in other words, you think about it, when they're walking, one of them is going to have to be walking forward, the other one backward. So which one is the one that takes the lead? Yeah, there's like Siamese twins. So imagine, yeah, if you have Siamese twins back to back, if each one tries to go in their direction, they're not going anywhere. The Marsha mentions in this connection, you have an expression in the Gemara in Erevin that calls a person who's stuck and can't go in either direction. The Gemara calls him Chamer Gamol. Like you have in certain dinim of Erevin, sometimes you have that Erevin will put down in a way that makes a person stuck. So you have as if like he's a donkey driver and a camel driver. A donkey driver walks in front of the animal, a camel driver, a donkey driver walks behind the animal, a camel driver walks in front of it. So if you're a chamer gamel, you're like stuck in the middle. You can't go any place other than between them. So therefore, it became a metaphor for like when you're stuck in place. So here, if each of them is going to try to go in their direction, nobody's going anywhere. So which one gets to take the lead? Amar Rav Nachman, Reitzch mistabra b'zocher sagi b'resha. It makes sense that the zocher, that the Adam side of the body would be the one who goes first, and Chava has to walk backwards behind him. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, lo yahalach Adam achore isha baderech, a man should not walk behind a woman on the road, v'afilu hi ishtoi, even if she's his wife. Now Rashi says, because it would be a gnai. So in other words, Marashal says, we're talking about his own wife. So there's no Isser involved. And we have to remember, before the Chayt Hadas, also there wasn't necessarily an issu involved. They didn't have a Yetzirah. But nevertheless, it would be a gnai that still the greater one should be going first and the lesser one should be going afterwards. So since after all, Adam, again, being that he has the chivshua, he has the greater number of mitzvahs, the Ibshta spoke directly to him and not to Chava, etc. So therefore, so he's the greater one. And therefore, it's only appropriate that he should be the one going first. Then Marsha goes on to say, now the Rambam understands differently. The Rambam would understand that, for example, when we say in Pirkei Avos that Altar B'Sichei Me'ishta, B'Ishta Yom, K'Avachoy, B'Ishas Chaveri, the Rambam explains on that Mishnah that the problem is because even with your own wife, it's true, of course, your own wife is mutter to you. Nevertheless, the having too much conversation with her can lead to an inappropriate amount of mishgal, of having relations. We know that even though a person is supposed to have relations with his wife, but he's still, the Gemara mentions elsewhere the idea that it shouldn't be katana gurdam, it shouldn't be just like chicken, like doing it all the time. So then, according to that, Marsha says, then the vote would be that, so now, over here, the two of them are facing in opposite directions. So therefore, so it's not like he's going to be looking at her anyway. There can't be a matter of issur involved over here. Necessarily, therefore, it's only a matter of gnai in this case. If they were facing each other, then you could talk. Like the Rambam says, that maybe you also have the problem of that it brings them to relate to each other too much in a gashmiistic way and not other ways. But once we're talking about they're anyway facing in opposite directions, then that wouldn't apply. The only possible reason would be gnai. Would be that it's improper for the lesser for the less important one to be going first. That's why we sit in different places. So, right.
No. That's why men and women see two different ways.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So lo yahalach adam achorei isha baderech, a man shouldn't walk behind a woman on the road, v'afilu hi ishto, even if it's his own wife. So again, according to Marasha, you have two different reasons why he shouldn't walk after his own wife. The Rashi is giving the reason mishum gnai, the Rambam is giving the reason because of mishkol. So now, in the case of Adam and Chava, only the reason of gnai would apply because they can't see each other anymore. And the Braisa continues, nizdam galoy ala gesher, what if a woman comes ahead of a person on a bridge? An Ashesish, and particularly Rashi says, you saw Kenna, let's study, you should try to move over to the side. In other words, try to go to the side so you're not directly behind her until you're able to pass her. The idea being, in other words, apparently a bridge is narrow, so you may not have a choice to be able to get ahead, but at least try to move off to the side. And anybody who follows a woman, who walks behind a woman in a river, where in particular in a river, because she doesn't want to get her clothes too wet, she hitches them up. So therefore, he's seeing things that he shouldn't see. Then he won't have a chelik in olam haba. Tosfos says doesn't mean if it's a one-time thing. It means if a person regularly does this kind of thing, then he's not zoicha to a chelik in olam haba. Ben Yoyada says the vort. That what it means is, since we know that the ultimate reward of Olam Haba, we learned earlier in the Masechta, is Nen and Miziva Shechina, that they're able to see the glory of the Shechina and bask in it. So now instead he was seeing things that he's not supposed to see and with his eyes, so therefore he loses out on that Schar in Olam Haba. So Rashi says, particularly Eshesish, but Pashtos, if it was a Pnuya, maybe it wouldn't be as much of an issue. But still, when we're talking about Chorei Anor, then maybe it's a different thing. Rashi mentioned Nizdam Dalei Alagesher. He says, well, both things actually. He says Eshesish. Now there is some discussion about that among poskim. I mean, especially on a busy street, you really have a choice. And if you're not going to walk behind a woman, you're not going to get anywhere. So in particular, they talk about the Iker. Thing is not at least not to walk within four amas behind. The Radvaz actually says that in one of his Trubas, he says you shouldn't think that it's maybe only because you're going to be looking at her, and therefore if maybe you're like in one of these Muslim countries where they're dressed head to toe, then it shouldn't matter. The Radvaz says actually it doesn't make a difference. But there are poskim who say that primarily the Kepeda is if you're walking within four amas behind her, especially on a busy street, you really may not have much of an option otherwise. So continuing on this topic of walking behind women, the Gemara, and being involved with women overmuch, the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Hamiratza Mois L'isha Miyoda L'yoda, if a man counts out money from his hand to her hand, or Miyoda L'yoda, from her hand to his hand, to daily stackable in order to stare at her, so in other words, like he's taking his time counting out the money, coin by coin, in order that he has more chance to look at her, then Afilu, kibbol Torah mi Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. So then, even if he received the Torah, there's two different girsos over here: the girsa of Ein Yaakov and the girsa of the Gemara. So the first, the Ein Yaakov's girsa says, "Afilu kibbol Torah mi Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom." Even if he was as great that he received the Torah from Sinai, he's on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom. Yichtiv be mi minoi esh das lomo, where the pasuk says that Hashem, that Moshe received the Torah from Hashem's right hand. Fiery Torah to them, or the other Girsa is in the Gemara. Even if he has Torah and Ma'isim Tovim on the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu, nevertheless, lo yinotzel or yinaka midina shel Gehenna. Still, as a result of that, he won't be saved or he won't be cleansed from the din of Gehenna. Because of this way that he's acting and trying to take the time to be able to look at her beauty. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, yod le yod lo yinoker ra, hand to hand, meaning even if he's like Moshe Rabbeinu who received the Torah from Hashem's hand to his hand, so even if he's of that caliber, nevertheless, lo yinoker ra, he won't be cleansed from evil. And my lo yinoker ra, what does that mean? What particular evil are we talking about? Midina shel Gehenem shenikra, so he won't be saved from the judgment of Gehenem, which is called in other psukim ra. So therefore, it means, so yod le yod, lo yinoker ra, even if he's the kind of person, so in other words, we're doubting the word yod le yod in a double meaning. Because he acted in this way, of yod le yod, of counting money from her hand to his hand, or vice versa, in order to be able to look at her, even if he's the kind of person of whom we can say, yod le yod, that he received the Torah personally from Moshe, from Hashem to him, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, nevertheless, lo yinoker ra, he won't be cleansed from the evil. He's still going to have to, he's still going to have to go through a spell of Gehenna. That's the point. Well, that's the point. We would think that maybe a person who's on such a high level, maybe the schus of his Torah, the schus of his closeness with Hashem would protect him. We actually, you know, you think of it. We had earlier in the Masechta, for example, we had examples of Amiroyim who, for example, Rav Gidol used to actually instruct women who were going to Tovel on the proper posture to Tovel. And the Chacham said that aren't you worried about Huhurim? And he explained that to him, he doesn't have any Huhurim from them. So now you would think, by the same token, this person who's doing this, he's counting money from his hand to her hand, to daily stackable, maybe he can get away with the excuse that he doesn't have Huhurim. Nevertheless, we're saying, Lord, you're not going to. Whatever the reason, well, that's the point, because he's mistackled. Therefore, we know there's a problem over here, as opposed to Rav Gidol wasn't looking at them, except insofar as he needed to do that in order to instruct them on the proper, on what to do while they're talking. A lot of Rebbeim, yeah, in Israel. Yeah, for example, it says about the Tzemach Tzedek, I think, that he didn't used to take women in for Yechidus at all until finally the Rebbe Tzim Chaim Mushka pressured him into doing that. But yeah, so... So Shanema, as the pasuk said, yeah, yod, you knock it off, my knock it off, Medina Shogahanim Shinikura. Elsewhere in Sota, Tosfos points out, and a few of the Mephoshim bring it over here, that there's actually two psukim in Mishle that use this expression, yod le yod lo yinoker. There's another one that goes, Toyav as Hashem kol gvalev, an abomination to Hashem is anybody who's proud of heart, yod le yod lo yinoker, from hand to hand, he won't be cleansed. So therefore, so that one actually, Gemara explains in Soita, is referring to a gas ruach, a person who's proud, a person who's a baal gaiva. Again, even if he's of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the Torah from Hashem, nevertheless, he's still lo yinoker ra. Here we're talking about a different pasuk which begins yod le yod lo yinoker ra, and the end of it is v'zera tzadikim nimlot, the descendants of the tzadikim will be saved. That's referring to what we're talking about over here, the person who's counting out money to the woman in order to save. So the Gemara continues on this topic. Amr of Nachman, Manoyach Ama Oretz Hoya. Manoyach, the father of Shimshin. We have the story of him in Sefer Shoftim, in fact, Torah of Parshas Nosoi. So he was an Ama Oretz. Shenema, Vayelach Manoyach Achre Ishtoi. Because the Pasuk says that Manoyach followed his wife. Since we're saying over here that a man shouldn't walk behind his wife, so Manoyach should have known better. You have the story over there. So the Malach had come to her and told her, you're going to have a baby, he's going to be a Nazir, etc. She tells her husband, Manoyach davens for the Malach to come back. The Malach comes back, she's in the field, she runs to tell Manoyach, and Manoyach, etc., followed her in order to hear what the Malach has to say. So the fact that it says it like that, Vayelech Manoach Achrei Ishtoi, shows that we're saying he was an Amo Oretz, he should have known better. So the Gemara says, Mask for Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, if that's what it means, every time it says about a man, Vayelech, that he went after a woman, then Gabay Okona, what are you going to say by Elkanah, where the Pasuk says that Elkanah followed his wife, Elkanah, the father of Shmuel? Now, the problem with that is that there's no such Pasuk in the entire Tanakh. So Tosfos, and there's a footnote over here from Tosfos, from Yehuda HaChassid, that says, take that out, it doesn't belong in the Gemara. There's no such Pasuk. On the other hand, the Maharshal says, come on, you know, you're going to have something where maybe, you know, they copied out a word or a phrase wrongly or something, but who would put in an entire line in the Gemara over here referring to a pasuk that doesn't exist? So the Maharshal gives a whole explanation that in the connection with Elkanah at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, there's a pasuk that says that after the whole story over there, it says, Vayelech Elkanah Horamasa al Beisa. He went, so literally it means he went to Ramah to his house. But the Gemara is doubting, since we know Beisai Zu Ishtai, like by the Kohen Gadol, therefore the Gemara is doubting that Al Beisai means he followed his wife in going home to Ramah. And therefore the Gemara is paraphrasing the Pasuk. It doesn't actually say Vayelech Elkanah Achrei Ishtai, but it says Vayelech Elkanah Horamasa Al Beisai. And the Gemara is understanding that that can be taken to mean that he followed Chana home. Maharsha says that's still a little bit of a doichet to say that the Gemara is taking it from that. Rather, Maharsha says like this. At the end of Sefer Shoftim, you have the story of Pelegish Begibah. And how does it begin? You have this fellow introduced over there. He's never introduced by name. A Levi who lives on the edge of Har Ephraim, in the center of the mountains, in the center of Eretz Yisrael. He had a Pelegish. She ran away to her father's house in Beis Lechem. He follows her to Beis Lechem, convinces her to come back with him. And then when they're on the way back, they stop in Givah and the whole tragedy happens over there. So now the Pasuk uses the expression that he followed her to go to Beis Lechem. He was following in her footsteps. So now Maharshal says the Gemara may be understanding over here that Levi is none other than Elkanah. Which Maharshal says, in that case, it may not work out so well. According to the Seder Asmanim, Seder Olam, which is a medrash from Rabbi Yossi, says that the story of Pelegish Begibah happened near the beginning of the time of the Shoftim, like shortly after Yeshua had passed away. In that case, Elkanah lived a couple hundred years later. On the other hand, the Radak on the Pesukim says there that maybe the story of Pelegish Begibah happened during the time when Shimshon was in jail. We know that eventually the Plishtim captured him, they blinded him, they put him in jail, and eventually he knocked down the whole building on top of thousands of Plishtim. But during that time, the Radak says is when there was no central authority, there wasn't any shofet, because Shimshon is in jail. During that time, the people took advantage of the situation, and that's when you have the story of Pelegish Begibah. So according to that, Maharshal says it could actually work. The Seder Asmanim would work out well enough that Elkanah was living at that time. Whatever the case, so he says, that's what the Gemara means about this Vayelech Elkanah Achrei Ishtai. The Gemara is assuming that Levi from the end of Sefer Shoftim, from the story of Pelegish Begibah, is none other than Elkanah. Well, in that case, then either way, so whether you understand like that or whether you understand like the Maharshal, that it's referring to the actual Pasuk about Elkanah, Vayelech Elkanah Al Beisai, either way, you have a Pasuk that implies that he followed his wife. The Gabi Elisha. What about by Elisha? The Vayokam Vayelech Acharel. By the story of the Isha Shunamis, after the Parshas Vayera. So she comes to Elisha with the baby has died, and he follows her back to the house in order to be Machai Mason. So Hochinami Acharel Mamish. Are you going to say in those cases that it actually means they followed them? If you're saying Mela Monoyach, you could say with an Amoretz. You're not going to say that Elkanah or Elisha were Amoretz. Chas v'shalom. So what's going on? Ela Achad Vareha v'Acharat Sosa. Obviously, the answer is by Elkanah and by Elisha. If it's saying that they followed a woman, means they followed her words and her advice. The same way by Manoach, what forces you to say that means they actually literally followed behind her? It can mean that he followed her advice. She's telling him, come out to the field. The Malach is there, so he followed her. She followed what she's saying, but not necessarily that he walked behind her. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Lamaid ka Amar Rav Nachman, Manoach Amoretz Haya. Now, if we do, after all, accept what Rav Nachman says, that Manoach was an Amoretz, and we say that by Manoach, it means that he literally walked behind her, in that case, Afilu Bei Rav Nami Leikara, then you should know, it's not just that he's an Amoretz, he doesn't know this Maimah Chazal that we were saying before, that a man shouldn't walk behind a woman. It would mean that he didn't even know know to he didn't even know what it says in a pasuk, or to learn an implication from a pasuk. The pasuk says Rivka and her girls got up and rode on the camels, and they followed the man Eliezer to go back to Avraham's house. The point is they made a point of going behind him rather than ahead of him, because if they went ahead of him, then there would be machshelim in this. So in other words, according to that, Manoyach, if he tackled, walked behind his wife, he didn't even consider the implication of that pasuk to realize that he shouldn't have done that. Marshall points out, first of all, that Rivka at that point, of course, was already niskadish to Yitzchak. She's already considered an Eshes Ish. So she's not, like this before, we said that a man shouldn't walk behind his wife. We said one because of a gnai. But again, by his own wife, there's no issur, because after all, his wife is mutter to him. Well, then in that case, what's the proof from Rivka? In the case of Rivka, that's different. She was an Eshes Ish already. Nevertheless, the fact that he didn't realize that it says that he shouldn't do it, mishum gnai, then we still hold that against him. She went back with Eliezer, yeah. Well, that Rivka, right? She was written to Scottish to Yitzchak. He was Makadosh Ayyadish Lifus, sure. With that said, though, I mean, Eitz Yosef points out, when you get down to it, for Rivka herself, fine, was an Eshes Ish, but the Pasuk mentions not only Rivka, it also mentions her Nareseha, her attendants. They were not married, they were not Niskadish, they were a Pnuya. Now, later in Jewish history, there was an Isser of Yichud with a Pnuya. That Isser didn't exist yet. Therefore, the fact the Pasuk makes a point of mentioning not only that Rivka rode behind Eliezer, but also that her girls did, that should have clued Manoyachin. Rav Ashi is saying that even a Pnuya, where there's otherwise no Isser, a man should be going ahead rather than behind. And the fact that Manoyach didn't realize that, then the Gemara is holding that against him. The Isser Pnuya is later on. So the Gemara finishes off. Amar Rav Yochanan, Achore Ari v'loy Achore Isha. Better a person should walk behind a lion, even though that can be pretty dangerous, rather than walk behind a woman, based on everything that we've been saying so far. There is, by the way, a drosha. There is a drosha on this that says from the. Well, so there is actually a vote from the Bnei Yisoschar on this that says that it's also hinting the mazel of is Aryeh. The mazel of Elul is Besula, which is a woman. So therefore, the hint is Achore Ari. Better you should be doing Tshuva after during Chodesh Elul, rather than Achore Isha, rather than wait until Elul is over, and now you're already after the time of the Isha, and then you're first thinking of doing Tshuva. Use the time of Elul wisely. Continues. Achore Isha v'loy Achore Avodes B'chavim. Even if you have a choice, better to be walking behind a woman rather than Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah, the Gemara explains in Masechta Avodah Zarah, can be very alluring also. So Marashah explains, in other words, we're talking about over here, inevitably you're going to have to do one or the other. You really have no choice. So then you take the lesser of two evils, kind of. It's even better to walk behind Avodah Zarah rather than to walk behind a shul when the people are davening over there, because then it makes it look like the person is saying, I don't, Rashi says it looks like he's purik oil mitzvahs, as though he's throwing off the yoke of mitzvahs, or mevaza besek nesis, and mocking the shul. It's not an important place to go, and therefore that's a problem. And the Gemara is going to say just a second. Marshall adds a different point. In other words, that even if he walks behind Avodah Zarah, the worst that can happen is people are going to think that he's over Avodah Zarah b'shittu, that he's over Avodah Zarah lahavdil together with Hashem. But now when he goes behind the shul and he doesn't go in, it looks like he's completely being koifer in Hashem's existence. However, the Gemara says, that would only apply if there's no other door to the shul. But if the shul has another door, there's no problem, because people see him passing by the one door, they'll figure, okay, he's going in through the other door. Also, this would only apply if he's not riding on a donkey. the and also if he's not carrying a burden, or deloy manach tefillin, and also if he's not wearing tefillin, but if you have one of those, then it doesn't matter. If he's riding a donkey and he doesn't stop, then people realize, okay, he doesn't have any place to park his donkey. Same thing if he's carrying a burden, and if he's wearing tefillin, then it becomes obvious that he has malchus shemayim on him, and he's not ignoring the shul because of that. Earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara also mentions another point that if there's another shul in town, then it's also fine, because then people are going to figure he's going to that other shul. So in short, it would only be if there's only one shul in town, and that shul has only one door, and he's not riding, he's not carrying a burden, he's not wearing tefillin, then we're saying it would be a bad thing for him to go behind the shul as if like he doesn't believe in Hashem, whom they're davening to in the shul. But Pashtus, the Gemara is not making a distinction whether he davened or not, to answer your question. So, but Pashtus, that doesn't make a difference. Even if he already davened, still, like this, Shoshat Sibra Mespalin, then we expect that he should at least go in and join with them for a little bit.
Instead of walking with a dog, we should have a line.
Instead of walking with a dog, yeah.
Not a bad idea. Well, you said you're going to show on people that are davening to stand up. Okay.
Well, that's also true. That's a different game now. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'olah of Test Tavis. So let's talk about the interplay between Ge'ula and Tshuva. The Ge'ula is going to come even before the Jewish people do Tshuva. We know because the pasuk says, "Behu Yifdes Yisrael Mikol Avinoisav," and Mitzudas David Hashem will redeem the Jewish people from all their averus. And Mitzudas David, it says, even the averus will not be ma'akev the Ge'ula because Hashem will rescue the Jewish people from their averus. Now, you have also a pasuk. You have a pasuk in Micha, Mikael Kamoicho, who is a God like you. Noise Ovin go over our Pesha, Losheris Nachalasa, and Hashem forgives Ovin and overlooks Pesha for the remnant of his inheritance. Lohechsek La'adapoi, he won't hold on to his anger forever, Kichofetz Chesedu, because Hashem desires Chesed. So the Mephoshim explain, Losheris Nachalasa means those who are left over after Chevle Mashiach. So you have, and the Rebbe talks there, so therefore that's the Ud Mutzel Ma'esh, that's to use the expression of the Pasuk, the brand grabbed out of the fire of our generation, we Jews who are here after the Holocaust. So therefore, so Mitzvah David says, it means Hashem is not going to be particular about the Pesha and pay attention to it and want to punish for it, rather Hashem will, so to speak, overlook it and pass by as if he didn't see it. And the Radak says the expression, those who are left when Mashiach comes, even though they may be guilty, they may deserve not to go out of Golos because of the tremendously bad things they did, nevertheless, Hashem will not keep on looking at their meisim, ki chofetz chesed hu, because Hashem desires chesed, and his chesed will overcome their chatoyim when the time of the Geula comes. So in short, when Mashiach comes, even there are people who are not yet shomer Torah mitzvahs, nevertheless, unlike by Yetzias Mitzrayim, they're not goners, they will be part of the Geula, and then after that, they will do tshuva. Miyad mamash. 5:45. I know. So okay. So we're fine. Okay. Continuing on halachas of after brachas. When you have something that's not the main part of the fruit, then it goes down one level. So if the fruit it came from is ha'etz, then the tofel would be bo pri adama, and if the fruit was hadama, then the tofel would be shakol. So for example, this example comes from the Gemara. You have a plant called slath. In English, it's called caper berries. So now you have, beside the berries themselves that are edible, you also have the leaves are edible. And then on the leaves, you have these little buttons that stick out, sort of like you have sometimes on a rubber leaves. Now, the fruit is the main pre, and then you have around the fruit, there's a shell called kafrisin. In Gemara terminology, some say that the yen kafrisin that's used in the Torah is made from those. Anyway, that's a shell around it, and those are also edible. So now the berries themselves, the caper berries themselves are the main peri. So you say her eats. The rest of the things, the leaves and the buttons and the kafrisin, you say hadama. Another example, he says, would be rose leaves. If you take rose leaves and you mix them, you mix them with sugar and water, and you make like a compote out of them. So you say, and I'm hadama, even though they grow from a tree. Certain kinds of roses grow on trees because again they're not the main thing. Same thing with orange peels, chocolate covered orange peels, or candied orange peels, or whatever. Same thing are hadama. And the same thing, for example, if you do that with cucumber peels, then there would be shakol. Another one would be, for example, pea pods. You have peas themselves, a hadama. So now, even though the pods themselves may be sweet, but if you eat them without the peas, then they're shakol. The way the Alter Rebbe phrases it and say the Birkas Hananin, it maybe implies, he says, the mentions over here, that actually even if you eat them with the peas, they would be shakol. So in other words, if you eat them all together, of course, it's hadama, but if you're eating the peas and then you're eating the shells, then maybe in fact the shells separately would be shakol. On the other hand, the ones that are planted where they're intended to be eaten with those shells, then in fact the shells are hadama because then those are considered the main thing as well. They talk about in that connection, actually, he doesn't mention over here, but for example, you have, there's an interesting discussion about hearts of palm. The Gemara tells us hearts of palm are shakol, or hadama actually, I think, but they say nowadays that may not be the case because nowadays there are trees that are grown specifically for hearts of palm. Therefore, they become the ikker fruits. I don't remember if Rabbi Marlar writes this in his brachas guide, but definitely there are some rabbanim who write in their brachas guides that hearts of palm nowadays would be ha'etz on those grounds.